Well, we are going to put our series ROI on hold this week, and we are going to talk a new series, and let's see if this is going to work. There we go. All right, and we're going to talk Mother God. So you may be surprised by this, but I am not a mother, nor am I a woman. Yes. I know. It's a surprise. But you may also be surprised that the scripture talks of God as a mother quite often. And so I'm not saying that God is not our heavenly father. What I'm saying is that there is more to God than just that. We see as we look through the scriptures, it's not just these masculine depictions, although they are the dominant theme. He is not just a masculine warrior fighting for us on our side. Vengeance is mine. I don't know, whatever you want to think. The strong arm of the Lord. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of God, but there is more. Now, maybe if you've been in church a long time and maybe from certain traditions, you might ask this: why is it important? Why does it even matter? Well, we need to see a whole picture of God. We need to see the wholeness of who God is. And when we focus on just one aspect, we can get a distorted view of the character of God. Secondly, Genesis chapter 1 says this: so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So I don't know if you got the idea here, but male and female, God created them in his own image, male and female. And so we see both attributes are from God. So, you know, there is a woman characteristic to who God is. There are people, women in particular, who struggle with the idea of seeing themselves in the image of God, because we always talk about, you know, he, father, and they're like, well, how can I be made in the image of God? Well, here we have Genesis chapter 1, and God says, you, women, are made in my image, which we have a lot of women here today, right? You were made in God's image as well. And it's that doesn't mean we throw out all the masculine language. That doesn't mean we throw out the he or the father or the understanding that warrior God depiction. But what it does mean is that there is another side. And it also helps us realize that how revolutionary this book is. In a what's the word I'm looking for? Just skip my mind. I want to say paternal. That's the wrong word. Patriarchal society. Wow, that was a real struggle. In this patriarchal society, we here we have, from the very beginning, God saying, I made woman in my image. You have to understand how revolutionizing this is. The fact that it depicts God time and time again as a mother. This is revolutionizing. So it makes sense that there's more dominant male language because it was a patriarchal society. But we see how progressive this book is by doing this. We see God crossing gender lines. And he comes to us and he says, I am both father and mother. Now, all the time we talk about in church, if you have a negative, those daddy wounds in your life, that negativity around who a father is. And we talk about how God can come as the perfect father, how he is powerful and he will never fail. He is that, a perfect father. But on the flip side, we have God can also come as the perfect mother to us. And I know of people who have deep mother wounds. I know of a famous preacher, an author, who his mother actually died when he was young. And he grew up in a very dysfunctional home with a stepmother who his father actually didn't even know how bad it was. But what he has this immense healing in his life when he begins to see God as his mother who comes and replaces that earthly mother that he had and comes to be that perfect mother. Just as daddy wounds can run deep, so mother wounds can run deep as well. And he comes and he, or she, or whoever, God comes to us. All right, here's what it says in Deuteronomy. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. And so God comes like that mother eagle and scoops us up and places us in the nest. They fall out of the nest. They swoop down. They pick you up. And this is how God is. He wants to come and wrap his metaphorical wings around us. You know, whether we had perfect parents, we had dysfunctional parents, or we had no parents at all, we need to see God in all of his fullness. And that means we need to see him as both our mother and father. And today we are focusing on that mother. So our primary scripture for today, is taken from Isaiah. It says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. I don't know what life is like, but maybe there are times in life when you just want to pull a big thing of ice cream out and just eat, right? Or maybe, you know, there's times when you're like, man, I just need a hug from mom. God comes as the perfect mother to comfort us. And he's there, and he's there for us in comfort. You know, it's more than just macho stuff in the Bible. And we need more. Yes, God is our mighty warrior. Yes, he is fighting for us. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. There are times when you need someone to come to bat for you and you just want to knock someone out. All right? Anyone have a hard day like that and you just want, yeah? Yeah, do we see a hand? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I saw the hand. But there are times when you're feeling in the dump. There are times when you just want to curl up in the fetal position and cry the day away. And in those moments, a mighty warrior isn't much of a comfort. Seeing God, we can always see God as the type of person who's always saying, hey, pick up those bootstraps and keep going. And that is true at times. There are times when we just got to like get up. Let's get up, move on. But there are times when God comes and comforts us. As a mother comforts a child. This is what this passage in Isaiah is saying. God comes and he comforts us. I get that picture of a baby, like a newborn. You know, they're crying in their crib. And, you know, they're distraught. And, you know, especially when they're really young and they get those mittens on. And, you know, they're all already kind of ballish. But, you know, you know what I mean? They like extend and they get all stiff, but then you pick them up and they just like curl up and they nestle into you. And they just kind of fit. That's how I see God coming. And we're all stiff and jagged and we don't know what to do. And he comes and he comforts us. And we can nestle in to who God is. There's a great picture in this, in the scriptures. And if you have a Bible with you there, or again, on the YouVersion Bible app, you can turn to 1 Kings. And we're going to see this picture of God, maybe not so much like a mother, but maybe like a nonna. Anyone here have a nonna? Maybe Italians in the room? Where the heck is Kings? There we go. All that schooling, and I still don't know my books of the Bible. Anyway, all right. 1 Kings, and we're looking at the story of Elijah. And so starting in verse 4, it says this. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree. That's where you get brooms from. Sat down under it and prayed that he might die. So this is a pretty hard day for this guy, right? Elijah. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there was by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Here we see a God of comfort. There are times when you're like, man, I wish I were dead. I don't know, maybe you haven't had those times. But God comes and he says, here, have something to eat. Have something to drink. Have a nap. Isn't that? Who sometimes? Life just gets in the way. And you're like, I just want to eat something and go to bed. How glorious is it that God comes and says, in those moments, guess what? I come. I will comfort you. Have something to eat. Have a nap. Sometimes you need to pull up the bootstraps. And sometimes you just need a nap. Man, there's times when I just need a nap. My stress response, so I do this personality assessment called the Berkman. And you can see where all your stress responses are and how they differ from your usual behavior. And there's these things called reversals, which 5% of the population has. And I have a reversal. And when it comes to thought process, I'm a quick decision maker. I like to make decisions quick. If you don't make decisions quick, you are going to stress me out. But here's the problem. When under stress, I make decisions slowly. And I shut down, and I can even like really shut down. And I just like have to have a nap. Oh, I'm so thankful that God comes and he says, here, have something to eat. Have a nap. You know, we can feel alone, but we have a hope that Mother God sees us. Isaiah again says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. It's hard to forget a mother or a baby when they're there. Rumor has it. I don't know from firsthand experience. But even if you were to forget, God says he will never forget you. You know, we can think of the soft being the feminine and the harsh being the masculine. But I think this is wrong. Have you ever heard the term mama bear? Right? There's a reason why we have that phrase. And it's not because you want to cuddle up to the mama bear. Like, it's not because you want to get in between the cubs and the mama. Right? And Hosea depicts God like this. He says, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open like a lion. I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. So now we have God being depicted as that mother bear who you do not want to get in between them and the cubs. Now, the truth of this passage isn't in the reality of the violence. It's the idea of the picture of a protector. A God who is on your side, who says, don't mess with my baby. Though you may be down and out, God comes like a mother bear. You know, both men and women, we are image bearers of God. We are both his children. Both mother and father, God comes to us. We need that perfect picture of a father from God. But we also need just the same, that picture of a perfect mother. Especially if you haven't had one or the other. God comes and is that. Maybe you struggle with the idea of looking at God as a father due to this functional family member. Maybe you then can look at God as mother and he can come. This isn't about one or the other. And some people make it that. They're like, they don't like the Father side, so they swing so hard to the other way, and it's like, well, only Mother God. And then they're like, well, we can't look at God that way. No, we must only be Father. It's not about one or the other. We need both. Sometimes you need a dad, and sometimes you need a mom. What is important is that we know that God is with us. Anyone ever read the book, The Shack? Yeah, so a couple hands. Now, for those of us who are lazy, like me, watch the movie, The Shack, right? The movie. And here we have a depiction of this man who he struggles with seeing God as a father. And so God comes to him as a black woman. He cannot see God. And so God comes to him in a way that he can see God. God reveals himself in a way that he can see who he is. Because God is more concerned of you seeing his true character than he is about you seeing him mother, father, or the dog next door. I don't know. Maybe that might be a problem if you're made in his image. But, you know, father wound, mother wound, God comes to you just as you need him. God is here. Hosea again tells us, I led them with the cords of human kindness, with the ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. God comes and he picks us up. And we see this picture even in Jesus. Jesus cried a prayer over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. God longs to gather you in. He longs to gather us in. Yes, God fights for us. He's desperate for us. But there are times when we just want the fighting to stop. And in those moments, God comes to us like a Nona, like he did to Elijah. And he says, get up, have something to eat, have something to drink, and have a nap. God is the perfect mother who has come to comfort you. Now, this is not about God, that God is he or she. Sometimes we can argue about that. That's silly. Jesus actually said to the woman at the well that in John 4 that God is spirit. God is spirit. So, you know, we can get in these physicalities. But it's more how we relate to God. See, God is willing to allow you to see him however you need to see him in order to draw you closer to him so that he can reveal himself in fuller and fuller ways. He wants you to come into him so that he can show you more and more and more so that we can have a full and real picture of who God is. Isaiah describes this desperation that God has for us when he says, for a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back, but now like a woman in childbirth, I cry out and gasp and pant. Now, I've never given birth. Not yet, at least. But I have been in the room. Now, my wife kind of wussed out. She got that, like, epidural thing. What a wimp, right? But there's some people who have had natural childbirths in the room, right? Grandma has. Right? And there's some gasping, there's panting, there's that desperation. Get out of me, right? Just come out, demon. I don't know. Maybe you didn't say demon. Right? But that you feel that longing, things start to stir inside, and that anticipation, something's coming, and you're desperate just to get it out and, oh, just put it on my chest, get this over with. But not just get it over with, right? You want to hold that thing that's been inside of you for 10 months, 40 weeks. That's 10 months. I don't know why people keep saying 9 months. That's wrong. All right. 10 months. That's the way God, he longs. He's desperate for us. He's striving for us. It's an act of desperation, that pain, that anguish, that wanting you into his arms. And this is how God comes to us as a mother. And I think it's important that we also see that God comes to us, not just as a father, but as a mother. That you too, women, children of God, were created in his image. Now, I probably will never refer to God as mother. That's just not me. I'd be just doing it to bug someone, which I might actually do, actually. I don't think of it. But if you're here and you need that, God says, go for it. I'd rather you be in relationship with me. I'd rather the barriers be broken so that I can reveal fullness, that maybe I can heal that father wound. Or maybe vice versa, draw closer to me as father so I can heal that mother wound. Or maybe he needs to just come and heal all the wounds. But he's rather have that happen than you stay at a distance because you cannot relate to him. All right, we're going to conclude with this. The whole point, God is desperate for you to know his love. And that's the main point today. That God wants you to know his love above anything else. That's what God wants. He wants you to know you are loved. All right, we're going to sing one last song as we close. As we do, I'm going to just pray a blessing over the mothers, the women, everyone who's got the parts. And that we would see God in his fullness of love today. And the ushers will come by with a bucket if this is your first time here. This service is our gift to you. There's no obligation to give. But here's what we would ask. Take one of these connection cards, fill it out, and drop it at the welcome table at the back. And we got swag for you, free stuff. And who doesn't like free stuff? Does anyone not like free stuff? Okay, who does like free stuff? All right, so grab one of these, fill it out. If it's your second time, you can drop it in the bucket as it goes by. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that, you know, that you are not temperamental in how we think of you, but that you would rather us see you in your fullness than us to have a wrong picture of your character. So Lord, I pray, I don't know what wounds they are, what people's past has been. I don't know where the struggles lie and how they relate to you. But Lord, I pray that we would see you in your fullness of love for us. That if we are in a state where we need to see you as Father, that we will see you as our Father. That if we are in a place where we need that comforting mother, someone to just say, have a nap. Because life is hard. Lord, I pray that we would see you as that. Lord, we thank you that you are good and you are kind. You are gracious. That you are slow to anger. That you come and comfort us. But at the same time, you are strong and mighty. You are both lion and the lamb. We thank you, Lord. In your holy name, amen.